He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Monday, November 3rd. Happy Monday, everyone. Happy to be back. Happy to be going here for what should be a good show, a shorter show, but should be a good show today as we take you up to Monday Night Football between the Cardinals and the Cowboys in Dallas. Gotta love that. Should be a lot of fun tonight on ESPN Radio here on 1430. Thanks for tuning in. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bully Hour. Tony D, 2 to 3 weekdays. You can listen to it. If you missed any of his show, you can listen to it live on demand on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website and the 1430ESPNFresno app as well. Like I said, good to be here. Going to be talking a lot of things sports-wise for sure. Busy, big-time sports weekend for a lot of folks. Man, World Series was there. Bulldogs' historic win. We'll talk about that. Who's been Audi? Who's been ice? We'll get into that. Johnny Bravo's dropping by the studio as well. And we'll be out by 4:30 today to help accommodate for the production of our FPU Sunbirds broadcast tonight, historic broadcast, 790 FPU versus Fresno State men's and women's basketball opener, broadcast starting in about an hour and 45 minutes or so over on 790 that you can listen to Scott Bemis and Paul Metters on the call. Like I said, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna be here. Lee's Air Hotline is the way to reach our show. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing is the way to call in here on this 3 o'clock hour. 559-320-1430, the way to reach the show. 559-320-1430. Get your calls in. Get your conversation rolling. Folks, we got a lot to talk about in terms of the sports weekend. Big moments, big sports moments in terms of that. I don't know. I don't know how to fit it all in this show here today. Lee's Air Weather Check. Looking at it right now, sitting at 80 degrees is your high. Got up to about 81, as it says. We'll get to 78 tomorrow. Should be relatively similar temps tomorrow. And then we will have the hammer slam on us in terms of the cool air coming in. 67 only the high on Wednesday. Some potential for some rain in the forecast. Then we may just stick around with those cooler temperatures a little bit more as the day progresses, as the week progresses. So enjoy the somewhat warmth, the relative warmth here at the start of November before we get into it. High school football playoffs are going to be in the full thick of it as well. We're going to talk all different things throughout this week in terms of it. We do have it narrowed down in terms of a broadcast location for our Friday Night Lights broadcast. I'm going to save it for a little bit later in the show to give it to you. Also, a reminder, we're also streaming live here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Hello to our audience who's watching right now. You can catch us live, right, like I said, on the ESPN Fresno accounts of YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook there. It's good to be here, folks. It's good to be live. It's good to be rolling here on this wonderful, fantastic Monday. We are feeling great. We are feeling fantastic. I don't know about you. I don't know if I've had a better sports weekend in terms of what has transpired over the weekend. And yes, that is including us as a Giants station watching the Dodgers win the World Series. So plenty to talk about in terms of it, but it's not every day you went on the turf of Boise, and it is a time to celebrate in terms of that for sure. And I kid you not, I think there was only one man in the Central Valley who had that all the way. on Saturday. And I'm staring at him right now in the producer's side. Jorge, how was your weekend after being the only person I think in Fresno to predict a Boise State victory? Or Fresno State victory over Boise State?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I loved it. I think, you know, I think what it was is I wasn't like 100% sure, just like everybody.
You had house money.
But at the same time, I was the only one. I think you and Chloe said, no, they're going to lose. And I was like, I got nothing to lose here. I was going to go with it.
Of course. Mm-hmm. You're in a no-lose situation predicting that Fresno State would beat Boise in terms of that. You already heard me and Chloe say, yeah, I don't see a logical way this team will win on Saturday.
But my heart was always with the Dogs. My heart was like, yeah, let's go beat them.
I get it. But man, what a victory. And that's where we start. Not very often we proceed We supersede talking about the greatest Game 7 of World Series baseball history with our own special history of Fresno State beating Boise State, but that's where we got to start with first. And frankly, I think a lot of people were sitting there watching the game transpire on Saturday in an understanding that, okay, when is the worm going to turn, per se, right? Everybody was kind of like watching the game and just kind of waiting for something bad to happen, right, in terms of it. Fresno State, of course, we knew the struggles they had offensively going into this game, 0 points against San Diego State, who continues to show they are the team to beat in the Mountain West as they once again rode to another victory on Saturday. San Diego State will have a test in Hawaii. We'll talk about that a little bit. But Elijah Gilliam getting a touchdown run in at the 1 yard line. The Bulldogs really, obviously you could point to the injury to the quarterback of Maddox Madsen, but let's be frank, I don't think Boise's offense was really showing much with that in terms of the quarterback position because they weren't scoring with him, and they certainly only scored one time without him. So I don't want any fans to say, well, yeah, we beat their backup quarterback. We had our backup quarterback too. So like, I don't know what kind of excuses in terms of, maybe it's a little disrespectful to call Carson Conklin right now a backup quarterback. He's the chosen starter in terms of it, but let's be frank with this game. As I go to the drive chart here in terms of it, it was a punt fest to really begin. Teams were punting back and forth with it, right? Fresno State finally gets a decent drive with some penalties that Boise State was really just absolutely killing themselves over. Like, uncharacteristic Boise lack of poise Saturday.
I wouldn't say that because I've been watching them a couple games now, and that's how they've been playing. I've been saying it the whole season. This is not the same Boise from last year.
Yeah.
This is a different Boise that's less disciplined. And has less. It feels like they have less stars than they did last year.
Traditional lack of discipline. Traditionally, yes. They have been disciplined.
Yes,
this is untraditional.
Yes,
discipline. Boise comes back, and I thought this was the game. This was the play that basically showed me, okay, we're playing a different game today. And there was the blocked field goal that kept it 7-0 early in the second quarter when the Fresno State Bulldogs drove through the line. I think Jason Jacks got his big mitts in front of it.
Yeah.
And was able to block it in Fresno State. Did you see the fist pump from Matt Entz?
Pump you up?
That was as animated I ever see Matt Entz on the sideline in terms of it. So blocked field goal. Then we go punt, punt, punt for a while. Boise does get a touchdown a little bit right before the end of the second quarter. So you got 10-7. Boise throws a pick, by the way, at the tail end of the first half as well. So 10-7. And I comedically kind of tweeted out, like, after this game, Fresno State only threw 35 passing yards on the game, which was by far the lowest for a winning team in FBS this season. I will clarify the record. Air Force apparently did throw 33 yards in a win over Wyoming a couple weeks ago. So I'll hand up on that. I wasn't completely accurate on that. Don't trust AI. But Fresno State didn't really need to do much through the air in this game. Boise kept giving the ball away deep into Boise territory. Fresno State didn't need to gain many yards because Fresno State was already well into Boise range when they were scoring. Right, Jorge? The fumble in the start of the third quarter, the interception as well. I mean, there were plenty of situations. How about interception, fumble, interception, three straight possessions for Boise State late second quarter, and then basically halfway through the third quarter, Boise went three straight turnovers on drives. And I mean, that really just sealed it for the Bulldogs in terms of it, right? How about points off the turnovers, 10 points off the three turnovers? And then they still kind of just kept grinding it out. Boise had a horrible punt because they were punting from their own three. Fresno State was winning the field position battle. I mean, in all phases of everything, Fresno State was doing exactly what it needed to do to win a football game on Saturday. And Boise State did everything it could to lose that football game on Saturday. I am not taking anything away from the Fresno State performance. I think they deserve full credit. The defense, I've said, has been elite all season. I continue to show that they are elite. Minus one game against Colorado State. I think this defense has been like an A-minus defense this year in terms of what I've seen on the football field. And once again, it did its job, forcing the turnovers. And hallelujah, Jorge, the Fresno State Bulldogs did not turn the ball over themselves for the first time this year. I was asking for it all season long. How many times, Jorge, have been asking? No turnovers in a single game.
I feel like they didn't throw it enough to even, you know, being
or fumbles, or interceptions, fumbles, yeah. Or fumbles. We've had fumble no issues turnovers. Too.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like the running game was elite. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was a huge part of why Boise couldn't stop them. The defense, this got to be one of the best defenses I've seen in Fresno State in a while.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Colorado State game it's an outlier, but the rest of the season, they've been pretty good.
Well, think about this two-game stretch, right, where we theoretically have played the two best teams in the Mountain West. And the Bulldog defense has allowed, you know, frankly, because I'm not going to count the pick six against the defense on San Diego State. We lost 23-0, but I'm not going to count seven of those points to the defense. I'm going to attribute 16 plus 7, that's 23 points total from the defense just given up in the last two weeks to San Diego State and Boise State. I'd take that a million times of a million. In terms of that kind of result in the way they played. And frankly, if there was more belief in that San Diego State game, Fresno State would be sitting there with a one loss Mountain West record and maybe handing San Diego State that one loss. But I'm not doing the if and what ifs. This is clearly a historic win for the Bulldogs. By the way, I was also doing this thing after the game, Jorge. I you know, no disrespect to what this team is and what it has been as a team. But, you know, if comparatively we sit here and say, oh my gosh, all these Fresno State teams that have been so historic throughout the years, yet all of them could not do what this team did, which is in the regular season beat Boise on the blue. And I know there's two teams out there that did, and I'm not taking anything away from them. But this is the first team. This team right here is the first team to ever do that. Go in the regular season, go to the blue, and not just beat Boise State, beat them down. To the point where their fans are absolutely reeling right now in terms of where they are as a football program. There is a lot of people in Boise squirming.
We never had a win like that at Boise State.
No.
Ever. So I think that's a pretty good, like, you know, where this team is coming from and where this team's going.
It exposed a lot in this football game in terms of that. And frankly, Jorge, this opens up so much in the Mountain West in terms of what these standings are looking like. Have you looked at the standings, Jorge, in terms of the Mountain West right now?
Not yet, no.
Let me just give you the up-to-date Mountain West standings for football right now. And there's a lot that could really align here in the Mountain West that could make this thing a wild finish down the stretch. Here we go. San Diego State 4-0 in conference right now. I think it's fair to say they have a path to host the Mountain West Championship at Snapdragon Stadium in about a month, right? Boise's at a one-loss team. Jorge, how many two-losses teams? You want to see how many two-loss teams are in the Mountain West right now?
Is it four?
One, two, three, four, five, six. Jeez. Six teams. That's half the conference is at two losses or better vying for the Mountain West Championship. Well, guess what? Hawaii lost. That was nice for us. That was a big-time win for San Jose State to hand Hawaii a loss. Here are your teams that are in a two-loss situation right now. Us, Fresno State, Hawaii, New Mexico, UNLV, who, by the way, New Mexico gave us a nice little gift of beating UNLV this week. Nice of them. Utah State, San Jose State. All those teams sitting at two losses right now. Guess what? We have a say in Utah State's loss column, per se. We can knock them out. We could definitely knock San Jose State out. We have that game still left on our schedule. Still have, obviously, Wyoming. Wyoming's at 2-3. I would say they're pretty slim to none in terms of where they sit. But you start doing the math, and while I thought they were dead a week ago, I think they're very much alive now for the Mountain West Conference in terms of it. Here's a path. You want to hear a path? You want me to do the realistic path, and then you want to hear the crazy path of getting Fresno State to host a Mountain West Championship game, Jorge?
Okay, let's hear it.
You want the realistic path first?
Let's go realistic first.
Fresno State needs to win out, right? Needs to win out. Okay. Finishing 6-2 in the conference record. That's fantastic. San Diego State goes undefeated. And involving a San Diego State going undefeated would mean beating Hawaii. Hawaii's out of there. They got to beat Boise. I don't see how Boise wins many more games the way they showed what they did on offense on Saturday in terms of it, right? So that's pretty much out of the question. San Diego State beats New Mexico. New Mexico's out of that conversation in terms of a Mountain West two-loss conversation. So if you sit there and look at everything, UNLV kind of sits there as well. UNLV is the only team that I would say I think questionably could sit there at two losses with us. What is our record versus their record? Where does it come down to? Is it similar opponents? There's a lot of tiebreaker scenarios with that. Utah State, like I said, we knock them out. San Jose State, we knock them out. Theoretically, Jorge, you could sit at a three-way tie. San Diego State's going to be up there at the top. San Diego State will be up there. And Fresno State, Boise State, and UNLV all could finish with two losses by season's end. What does it favor in terms of that? Boise beat UNLV. Fresno State beat Boise. Fresno State hasn't played UNLV this year. What does that favor? To me, logically, that would be Fresno State on top of everybody, right? Theoretically, that makes the most sense. Mountain West Conference standings don't ever make sense in terms of tiebreakers. Logically, that tells me Fresno State should be the team that represents half the Mountain West and go take on San Diego State in the Mountain West Championship. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think there's a path, definitely a path there. A lot of things had to happen. A lot of things.
I don't think there's not a whole lot that has to happen. The only thing that matters for Fresno State out of their control is San Diego State needs to beat Boise State in 2 weeks. That's it. And if Fresno State wins out, frankly, they're in the Mountain West Championship. Honest to God, stamp it. Book your trips down to San Diego right now. That's what I say. That's what the win Saturday did. Now you got a head-to-head against Boise. My God, that's like gold. So here's the crazy scenario. You want to go crazy here real quick? Do I got enough time to do the Charlie Day on Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, we got time.
The Pepe Silvia, you know, crazy board behind him. Like, who, you know what I'm talking about in terms of the meme. San Diego State, what do they have remaining, right? We looked at their games. Hawaii, Boise, New Mexico, San Jose. You know, those are, I would say, frisky Mountain West games.
Not easy.
Wouldn't be terribly easy for San Diego State to get through that, but San Diego State's proven otherwise. I mean, they got to go to the islands next week, Jorge. I'm not guaranteeing a win for San Diego State.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's difficult. San Diego State could lose that. Oh, you go play Boise. You know, Boise State could certainly win that game. Boise State's got Colorado State certainly win that game as well. San Diego State would need to lose, I think three, though, here out of the last four for them to get knocked out in terms of it. Not impossible. Fresno State wins out. Boise falls, it drops one in some certain circumstance. You could get a three-way tie for a lot of two-loss teams, anything like that. Fresno State certainly could see where the coin toss goes in terms of all. What I'm saying is the win afforded Fresno State the conversation to be re-entered and reintroduced in terms of a Mountain West championship. Did not think it was there a week ago. It is now here. They have a bye week to sit on it, and they have two home games and one road game that are all, frankly, very winnable in terms of if this defense will show up and make the plays that it needs to make. So I cannot wait, Jorge, to see another Fresno State home game. I cannot wait to see a Fresno State football game again. I can't believe I have to wait 12 days for it. By the way, they just announced the game against Wyoming, 7:30 kickoff at Bulldog Stadium, by the way. Just a heads up. 7:30 kickoff on Fox Sports 1.
I like that all the time.
So your final two home games are 7:30 and 7:30.
Nice.
So
nice.
Bundle up.
I won't be too, well, it might be rainy.
By the way, speaking of 7:30, I was struggling yesterday with the time change.
I couldn't fall asleep.
You couldn't fall asleep? I couldn't stay awake. It was like 8 o'clock, and I'm like, what? I'm so tired right now.
I took a nap. That's why.
I woke up at 6:30 on Sunday. I was awake way earlier than I should have in terms of it. Time changes, man. We need to fix that. Fresno State, I mean, congrats to Matt Edz. The guy, no matter what you do, I don't think he has to pay for a beer in his town for a while when you go beat Boise on the Blue. There's only two coaches that have ever done it. And one's in the Ring of Honor. So, good job by the Bulldogs. We got a lot more to talk about. Who's been naughty, who's been nice. We're just getting started here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Behind that bench rolls along here on this wonderful Monday afternoon. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Monday Night Football is coming up tonight. But, folks, a reminder, especially if you have YouTube TV, you as a customer, you need to get your sports that you love on ESPN back. That includes college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. You got to act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back on YouTube TV tonight. Today, by the time you get to Cardinals and Cowboys, which is just a matter of hours from now. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? Jorge, we love doing this on the Mondays of the NFL season, but I stretch the rules sometimes. I go to different sports in terms of that. Jorge, where are you going to go first? Do we want to feel nice or naughty?
Let's go with naughty.
Oh, Benatti? Okay, I thought we were gonna go nice first, but that's fine. We can go naughty. And first naughty goes to Pete Carroll. I was loud. That's an aggressive trombone. Pete Carroll, of course, the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, yesterday making a decision to go for two instead of going for at least extending the overtime, although 10 seconds left in the overtime, was it really matter? Was a tie versus a loss? Just looking a little lost out there in terms of it. And I just don't know if I totally agree with the decision. I don't know what the right decision is, but let's be honest, the Raiders set him up for fail. I think the irony is, and I love what Julian Edelman said on a Fox post game. Wow. Go figure Pete Carroll throwing it at the goal line from the 2-yard line. It goes poorly for him. Again, in terms of it, little low blow for Julian Edelman. But Raiders going for two and losing on a horrible fashion with a ball tipped at the line, falling to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that Raiders and Pete Carroll deserves to be here first on the Benatti list.
I don't know if I agree with you, but I do feel like the team or the offense – Might be Benatti instead of Pete Carroll.
Yes. The offense played all right.
Yeah, they played all right.
But yeah, Brock Bowers just went div everything and killed me, and I lost my fantasy matchup because of it.
Yeah, well, like
45 points. Not 80. What do you
He could have had 80 points.
I had him, and I was going up against him and Genty, and they went like 70 combined.
Well, I feel like I saw the last play, and he wanted to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was open, and then Gino kind of just, he doesn't move.
No.
If he would have moved just a little bit, it would have, or I don't know. Well.
I just think it was the bad play call. I think it was a bad play call.
It's debatable, but I feel like, I would have given more to Gino than Pete. But one of them.
You play to win instead of playing the tie?
If I'm the Raiders at that time, yes. Yeah. Yes.
You play to win.
Yes. All right. You don't need a tie. You need to win.
you got enough losses. All right, let's go to who's been nice. I was going to go here to start. This is for Major League Baseball in the World Series, Game 7. My goodness, over the weekend. And what an epic way to see the baseball season ramp up. Do I believe the Dodgers? I think the Dodgers won this series rightfully. I think the Blue Jays got uncharacteristic in Game 7, especially with runners on and extending the innings. And I think they did a little too much to try to scratch across runs instead of playing their style of baseball, and that's what bit them in the butt. The Dodgers won the way they do, which is just nickel and dime you with the homer and Max Muncy's homer, which is one of the more underrated homers out there in terms of making it a one-run game in the eighth. And then, of course, Miguel Rojas is going to live forever in Dodger lore with his homer. I said it right before that inning. I was like, with all my friends watching, I said, you cannot have a one-run lead with Shohei due up. And Shohei was due up, and they thought so much about Shohei that they pitched it to Miggy Rojas, and Rojas was the one who tied it up in an epic fashion. Game goes the extra innings. Will Smith, historical homer to go up one. And then the Blue Jays had their moment as well with Vladdy with a double. I mean, it had every twist and turn it could possibly think of. Hyperbolic, to say the least. I don't know, Jorge, and this might be a hot take, Jorge, if you want to believe me. I don't think that is the greatest Game 7 of all time still. Because I still think Cubs and Guardians, number one, with all the weight of the droughts of of championship droughts that weighed between those two teams, between the Indians at the time and the Cubs, felt like that still sits with it, especially with Rajay Davis's tying home run and then the Cubs with the rain delay, winning the game and winning the World Series eventually. I still think that, to me, will never be topped, and this one will sit at number two for me.
I feel that way. I think you're right. The only reason that I'm a little bit, hesitant of it is because it feels like that the Blue Jays had a chance to win it.
So many
the
chances.
Entire game.
Jorge, I'm showing it on the video. That close to winning the whole thing based off the review on the throw to home and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa sliding in.
Yeah.
And Will Smith barely somehow taps his cleat back onto the home plate.
He didn't take a big lead, so
I don't think he's in the wrong there. It's one out in the infield. You got to make sure that ball hits the ground.
Yeah.
I know everyone's like, well, what are you doing, bro? It's contact play. It's a one hopper to Rojas. You just got to make sure it does hop. You cannot be out at third and end the inning and double up because of a line drive. I get why everyone is like, why? And then, of course, he's like, why did you hustle down the – he did. I don't know. People are killing Isaiah Kiner-Falefa on Saturday. I'm not killing him at all. That's the situation it was. I don't think he did anything wrong.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think it's just circumstances, but it just optics too.
Yeah.
And Vlad did what he did. He put him in position to win several times.
One more question. We compared Game 7 between Indians and Cubs. Who's the better pitching performance in the World Series? Is it Yamamoto or Bumgarner?
Bumgarner. And I'm talking more journalistically than with my heart.
You're trying to keep your heart out of it.
Yeah, and the reason is because I feel like Bumgarner did it three games.
So did Yamamoto.
Well,
because Yamamoto did game one, and then game three, six, and then game seven, right? Or game two, game six, and game seven. Bumgarner had game one, I think game 5 and then game 7.
Yeah, but Bumgarner, I feel like in game 7.
He pitched a lot more innings in game 7 than Yamamoto did.
Yeah.
And he had, also high stress. It was one run lead. Preserving
he had already pitched before.
Yamamoto pitched only the day before.
Came in, you know.
People will say Bumgarner had like 2 days of rest before Yamamoto. Yamamoto had one sleep, like one night of rest before they.
But he didn't pitch that many pitches. He had that many pitches.
He had 96. He had 96.
No, the next day.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll litigate it. We're getting stuck in the numbers in terms of it. I know you're protecting Bumgarner a little bit. I know you're trying to be unbiased on it.
I'm not saying that, you know, what Yamamoto did isn't you know, great. It is.
Can we equally say they're good?
No, yeah, definitely.
It's an interesting conversation. I'm going to bring up this conversation again tomorrow.
I do, however, think that Bumgarner, you know, did it in three different years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he...
Okay, now so we're saying wait till Yamamoto do it in 3 different postseasons.
If he could do that in 3 different postseasons...
Then, yeah, maybe he's the greatest postseason pitcher of all time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're moving the goalposts just a little bit. All right, let's go to my next Benatti, and that is the Bengals. The Bengals defense who... Jorge, have you seen these quotes coming out from the Bengals offensive players about their defense of, like, F, man, just... finish your effing job from Chase Brown or Jamar Chase walking in the locker room seen overheard saying one effing stop ... in terms of what they needed after just a ferocious comeback to get up one, a furious comeback to get up one in the late stages of that football game. And then the Bengals just cannot do anything to stop a team. Jorge, you know they're the first team in NFL history to score 38 points in back-to-back games and lose both of those games? Yes.
I didn't know that, but...
That is NFL history. That's how horrible. They are legit. Maybe the worst defense we have ever seen, and I think Zach Taylor should be fired by the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's nothing to back him. I mean, he lost you know, the team already, these players are arguing with each other. This is not, I don't know what could say, really.
Crazy.
Even if he wins, I feel like that's not enough.
It's not enough. This Bengals team needs a hard reset in terms of it. But that game was crazy. That game was insane. My next Benice goes to Buffalo, the Buffalo Bills. Especially the defense, Patrick Mahomes under 50% completion percentage, no touchdowns thrown. The defense played extremely well. The Josh Allen also very efficient in terms of it. Do they necessarily care that they once again beat the Chiefs in the regular season and now are in danger of once again losing to the Chiefs in the postseason, which we firmly believe they eventually will both play each other in some form or fashion? Maybe. We'll see how it all turns out. But Buffalo got the job done that they needed to get done. They needed to keep pace with the New England Patriots in this division. And Josh Allen, another just, you know, Josh Allen day in terms of the way he played. And I said it from the get. I said it on Friday. There was no chance the Chiefs were winning this football game. No chance. I had every ounce of faith. I would have bet the house on the Bills winning that football game on Sunday. And they had it going away.
They didn't play bad, though. They didn't play bad. I feel like they had some chances. Buffalo's just a better team than we are. From quarterback all the way to, you know, special teams, they're just better than the Chiefs.
Yeah, certainly. So good job by Buffalo. Good job, Buffalo. My final Benatti. I hate to do it to the Central Valley kid, but, I mean, Jordan Love looked lost on Sunday for the Green Bay Packers. Jorge, you want to guess something? I told you this earlier. The Green Bay Packers were favored by 13.5, which means if you bet the over, you need the Green Bay Packers to score at least 14 points more than the Carolina Panthers did. And guess what? The Packers only scored 13 points the entire football game. They didn't even cover their own spread in terms of the amount of points they scored. They lose to the Carolina Panthers 16-13 in a windy kind of grinded out game that I've seen in quite some time. And I specifically am pointing to Jordan Love, especially on that fourth down play where he's scrambling around, running around, and then throws it across the field and nearly throws a pick six the other way because the DB was coming on through. I don't know where he was going in terms of that football on Sunday, but this Packer team is really, really inconsistent. It's one that you can't trust. They just lost Tucker Kraft, by the way, to the rest of the season with injury. I'll have massive concerns if I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. If you're a Jordan Love fan, I would be wondering what is going to be coming from this offense moving forward if I'm evaluating the Packers from any standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the Packers are – I don't know what they are. Because one week I could see that they're good. The other week I feel like that they're not trying. There's something there. And they give us really good games, and they could also lose to the Panthers. And that's not saying that the Panthers are bad. That's just the Panthers weren't going in a good direction.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're 4-4.
Panthers are 5-4.
Well, yeah, that's right, because they won.
Yeah.
5-4.
Panthers have the same amount of wins as the Packers. By the way, you know the Eagles did nothing this weekend and had all of the teams above them lose, and now they're first place of the NFC?
I did see that.
They did absolutely nothing, and everything fell their way. Unbelievable. What a great week for the Eagles. All right, my last Ben Ice. Speaking of a quarterback that did the Eagles favor, J.J. McCarthy. He's back. And how about that play? The way he played against Detroit, getting a rushing touchdown in the game, including big time throws to Justin Jefferson, and just going on the road and beating a Lions team that I think a lot of people had money on. A lot of people who were paying attention to this Lions team as a team that was just going to roll in this football game. And sure enough, the Vikings kind of smacked them in the mouth a little bit and covered as a 9.5-point underdog and more. Team that I think a lot of people felt like there was bad juju around with 3-4 as the record, and the Vikings figured it out, got a win on the road, and I think kind of win on the way, going away. The Lions didn't really even keep it that close of 27-24. So good on J.J. McCarthy to reinstill maybe some hope in the Minnesota Vikings and reinstill some confidence going into next week.
Did I call that one or the Bears?
I think you called the Bears. The
Bears, right?
Yeah, I don't think you called the Vikings.
But yeah, definitely Vikings. They still at it, even though we thought they were done. We thought they were one of them going, on a downfall. But they're showing otherwise.
Certainly, and that is who's Benatti? Who's?
Can I give one more Benice?
Yeah, go give us a Benice.
Adrian Martinez.
Hey, yes,
because he finally got into a game.
Mac Jones gave him just started walking off the field when one final kneel down was needed, and Mac gave Adrian Martinez the opportunity to kneel it down there. Congrats to him. That's right.
You could tell that he's not gonna be in the regular squad anymore. So
yeah,
they wanted to give him at least one play.
Niners played well. They got to play well again if they want to keep it rolling here this week. So, and it sounds like they're gonna get their guys coming back, so we'll see how it goes. That's the Who's Been Oddy, Who's Been Nice of the Week here on 1430 ESPN. All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap up this first hour next on 1430 ESPN Radio. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Let's do the injury report brought to you by Davis and Van Wagenen. Davis and Van Wagenen Injury Law Firm. Of course, they got your back in terms of any situation where you involve injury and personal injury law. So be sure to stop by my friends at Davis and Van Wagenen. Let's talk about the some of the injuries we saw pop up in this season here, including the 49ers, including the game yesterday. Jorge, it appears the Niners did lose one of their defensive studs to yesterday's game. Sounds like Mikel Williams is out with an ACL. Is that what I saw in terms of it?
Yeah, right. ACL, I believe they said he was out for the season
in terms of it. So the Niners will have to continue to search. They got one, what, the trade deadline's now, right, basically? We're here? Yeah,
basically, yes.
Do the Niners make a move before the deadline in terms of it? That is the big number one question in terms of what that's going to be going on for it. So Niners got to figure it out. When is the NFL trade deadline specifically? Tomorrow. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., Jorge. I give the Niners about a 55-60% chance of making a trade.
Maybe.
Jalen Phillips already got dealt to the Eagles. The Eagles continue to make some moves. So the Eagles are just going after it in terms of it.
I feel like they have a lot of extra capital.
Mm-hmm.
Or just extra picks.
Yeah.
That they could give away. I don't know. It just feels like they're in a better position than the Niners are.
Just be happy you don't have the Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, who's just saying to the media about an hour ago, he says he claims he already has a trade made. He's just not going to announce it yet.
Sure, I believe him.
I don't know what that means.
Well, if you already trade him, what the hell are you waiting for?
You know,
want to announce him now or tomorrow, or you're waiting for a better time?
He says, Dallas Cowboys, he said, a lot of action going on right now in terms of trading. We certainly have made a trade, and we may make a couple more trades before that deadline. We made one. We possibly could make two more.
Maybe because he traded his quarterback. I don't know.
He said to me, didn't disclose who the player was, but claimed he'll be an instant contributor. Like he said, quote, immediately it will have them on the field and will address some of the things that we've had shortcomings in. Like maybe even tonight. I don't know.
I feel like even to Cowboys fans, Jerry Jones, they're over. They're over Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Do you think? You think they're over it? Other injury news, maybe from the Rams' perspective, real quick. I did see Puka Nacua had a little bit of a chest thing going on in terms of his performance. I don't know quite if it's anything that's serious, at least from head coach Sean McVay said they have a scheduled it's a rib situation. Rams remain optimistic that the wideout won't miss any time. They have a scheduled scan for the rib injury. McVay comments essentially echo what is its following when he struggled. Excuse me, when he suggested that Nacua could have returned to the contest after exiting in the third quarter, but ultimately ran to the sideline for the rest of the game as the Rams were running up the score on the New Orleans Saints. So it looks like Puka will be available for that Niners game. It seemed like just a sore rib situation in terms of it. So, all right. Some of those injuries, of course.
One more?
Yeah, one more.
Jaden Daniels?
Well, I was going to go there. I was only sticking to our teams right now.
My bad.
Yeah, no, you jumped the gun on me. Yes, Jaden Daniels is, of course, the number one injury, I think, concern of all. It's fascinating, right, because everyone reacts last night. It looked ugly. It looked as ugly of an injury as it could be. But the great thing about joints, Jorge, is you can put them back together. Looks like it didn't break the skin, which was Scamp Scatimo's situation.
Dislocated, so it's a lot. Better than
his elbow broken. Was not located in the right location last night if you watched the game. Which, by the way, if you're going to fall, don't put your arm out. Right, Jorge? That's the number one rule. Do not put your arm out if you're going to fall.
Well,
no.
As humans, you try to brace yourself.
It's instinct, but you cannot full extend the arm as you fall.
Especially the way he fell.
You got to tuck. You got to tuck and roll.
Tuck and roll.
Right, isn't that what they teach you?
That's true. Like,
teaches it. You do not extend the limbs when you fall, and Jaden Daniels extended his limb, and his limb said, no, I don't want to sustain that weight, and it went in a direction not humanly possible. Fascinating. I've seen people say he could come back this year. That's an injury you can come back from. It would be Tommy John on the left elbow of a throwing elbow that he does not throw with. It's the left elbow. And, I mean, as long as it sits here as a quarterback, you know, what do you need the left elbow for?
It's a painful recovery, though.
It's painful. But I mean, like, what's pain, right? In football.
Well.
You know? I think I would guarantee you, Jorge, I think we see Jaden Daniels again this season.
Maybe. I don't doubt it.
It just reminded me of, like, remember when you get a wing? Like a chicken wing? And that the distinct popping noise when you... Yeah, okay. All right. Oh, man. That's graphic. Okay. Hey, just a reminder, by the way, before we end this hour, over on 790 tonight, FP Sunbirds taking on Fresno State basketball at the Save Mart Center. That should be a lot of fun. Paul Metter's on the call with Scott Bemis, who will be calling the game as well, doubleheader men and women. We were interviewing all the basketball coaches over the past week as well, so there was a lot of fun stuff going on with that. By the way, I may go back and replay one of those interviews this week, just get people prepped more for the season with Vance and with Ryan McCarthy. So that should be pretty good. We'll see if we got some time for it this week in terms of it. All right, we got to end this hour. When we come back, we just got a little bit more time left before we continue our show. Johnny Bravo is going to join us soon. We'll talk some other things as well. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Monday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Just a little bit of time left before our show wraps up. Johnny Bravo is going to join me in just a little bit. He is on his way. Gotta love the Fresno traffic. But he's coming. We're going to talk Taco Truck Throwdown to wrap up the show here today. We're heading out at 4:30 because we got to give Jorge production time, but get ready for the broadcast tonight at FPU Fresno State at Save Mart Center tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Can't wait for that. That's over on 790. Of course, coming up for us, it is Cardinals and Cowboys on Monday Night Football. If you want to head over to Major Wager, that's where Carter, myself, Joe, the crew, Sergio going to be there. Jorge, we're officially, after tonight, we are officially halfway through the season. Can you believe it? In the National Football League.
Feels like it went by too fast.
We are halfway through this season. 9 weeks is the official halfway point with the 18-week schedule. So we might do some halfway point thoughts this week in terms of the NFL. So I'm going to try to produce that for the next couple of days. Maybe do some halfway awards. For the NFL season. Okay. Halfway there. Who's your Super Bowl champ halfway through the season, Jorge?
The Niners.
Okay. You know what? Mine's the Patriots. All right? So how about that?
I was going to say the Colts, but not after this weekend.
That was a rough one. It was a classic Colts, just absolutely disappointing. They could have been a Bonatti candidate if we wanted to do that, but I'm going to forgive them. They're a two-loss team. I'm not quite there yet. All right. Daily Spread brought to you by Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck with your teams, try your luck at the mountain, up the mountain with the Chicchancy Gold Resort and Casino today. Cowboys, 2.5-point favorite tonight against the Arizona Cardinals. How do we feel about tonight's game? I think tonight's game is going to be psychotic. These two teams are psychotic. That's the best way I could describe it. 54.5 points, Jorge, in terms of scoring. Jacoby Brissett is starting tonight. Dak and company got everybody back, it seems like, so they should be at full strength. Conceivably, I think the Cowboys will win, but the Cardinals only play heartbreaking games. They only play games that are of a margin of like 3 or less. So we should be in store for a good one tonight, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things that I want to look for is who's got the better defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to, I think that's going to change the game.
I don't know if I could answer that game. I don't know if I can. Maybe the Cowboys.
I really think that whoever has a better defense is will take advantage of that, and this game will fall on their side.
Who are you picking?
I want to say Cowboys.
I want to say Cowboys, too. Just because I think the drama of the Cowboys just continuing to win is fun.
Continuing to win.
They'd be 4-4-1 after this week. And let's be frank, the NFL's more fun when the Cowboys are relevant instead of just being bad. Like, I'd rather the Cowboys be relevant by Thanksgiving than be just bad.
The Cowboys are always good in November, right?
Yeah.
It's like their time.
It's their time. They got a Monday night here. They got another Monday night with the Raiders coming up in a little bit. They got Thanksgiving. Jorge, I think we got the Cowboys galore in terms of the primetime for the next few weeks. So we should be A-okay. Cardinals 7-15 in their last one-score games since 2023. By the way, one of the worst records. Only two teams worse than one-score games since 2023. That's the Saints and the Giants in one-score football games. In terms of that, no Kyler, like we said tonight. It'll be Jacoby Brissett. Maybe that calms things down a little bit. Marvin Harrison's doing some good things this season. He hit for a little bit of a shaky start in terms of it as well. I need a big night from Trey McBride, Jorge. I need a really big night from Trey McBride, I would say, in terms of that as well. So, I need my Cowboys to keep rolling. Javonte Williams, I need Dak Prescott as well.
So I feel like they got to be on point today, because otherwise this Arizona team is going to take advantage.
But even when Arizona takes advantage, they then give the advantage right back, Jorge. Just think back to that Tennessee game. The Titans only have one win this year, and it's against this silly Arizona Cardinals team. Think about that.
That's true.
All right. Hopefully Johnny Bravo is almost here. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to chat with him about Taco Truck Throwdown coming up this Saturday. So he just walked in the building, so we'll take a break. We'll wrap up the show with Johnny next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up one more segment before we say goodbye for the day. Send it off to Monday Night Football in Dallas. And joining us to close out the show right now is Johnny Bravo. Johnny, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Phil. Coming off a great weekend of sports, which we were just chatting about. And yeah, man, Taco Truck Throwdown Week. It doesn't get much better than that.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff. We'll get to that in a sec. I realize I have a read here. Sure. I got to say, YouTube TV customers, I'm one. My parents are another. Got to get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football tonight, NBA, college basketball, more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back on your airwaves. All right, back to it. And of course, Johnny, where he got you here. First off, just good to visit.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been a little bit. We haven't had our Grizzlies Monday, you know, with it obviously being the off season. But after that Super Bowl, I'm ready for it to be, or after that World Series, I'm ready for it to be April.
Yes.
Like, I literally texted our president as soon as the game was done, where it's like, okay, you know, I'm ready. Let's do this thing again.
That was quite a season. So fun. Quite a season. What was your, put the setting for me. How'd you watch the World Series Game 7? What was your setup?
Was just at home, which was fantastic. Yep. You know, we watched Game 6 while having kids come around trick-or-treating, so that was a good time. But Game 7 was just at home in front of the TV, you know, and just enjoying time, right, and enjoying what I really feel like was one of the most fun baseball games I've watched.
It was one of the most online games, I felt like.
Oh, 100%.
You couldn't stop scrolling Twitter.
No.
You couldn't stop looking at anything. Like, I'm curious the numbers. I don't know if they came up with the numbers just quite yet. If not, or it has to be one of the most watched baseball games of all time.
It's got to be, right? And yeah. I think I was texted them earlier this morning. And again, I'm not going to be able to find it as quick as I would like live on
no,
air.
You're good.
But again, it's just so engaging, right? Anytime there's a game seven, it yeah. obviously gets a little bit more attention. But a game seven like that, right? Yeah. Extra innings, you know, and as we were talking off the air, just being a baseball fan in general, it just had me on the edge of my seat. I was just excited the whole time, and it's good for the game, it's good for the sport, and that's what, you know, is really, really special about that.
Absolutely. And now you can turn the sights to other things.
Absolutely.
And you got a lot on your plate coming up this weekend, and of course the build up to this week, the Taco Truck Throwdown. How about number 14? This Taco Truck Throwdown has been around for a bit now. Hard to believe.
It is, yeah.
But here we are. It's coming on Saturday. E40, the SOS Band, Baby Bash, Connie, just to name a few. In terms of, it should be just a big party down there on a wonderful November night. Johnny, the lead up to it. What you know? Tell me what it's been like. I mean, we talk about it with the Tequila Fest and your anticipation for it. I feel like it's got the same kind of vibe to it in terms of just how eager you're ready to get to this event and see it all play out.
Very much. You know, we spend months planning this kind of thing, right? I mean, you're talking, we announced the date all the way back on Tequila Fest, actually. So you're looking mid-May to right now. You know, that's a long runway. The energy around the town, around the community has been fantastic. It really has. People seem really excited about the lineup that we're bringing this year. But anytime you do something for 14 years, it's clear you're doing something right. Right?
Clear.
So to be able to bring two dozen of the best taco trucks in the Central Valley to Chick Chansey Park this Saturday, have them square off for that coveted crown. We're looking forward to one of the biggest taco truck throwdowns in recent memory.
Yeah, how about that? It's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, I just got an email now, just now. Grab your tickets.
There you go. Good to see you're on the email list.
So check your inbox. You may have just got sent a link
to
buy
this Saturday. Join us for tacos.
Literally just got sent to me in my inbox. So there you go, Johnny. People are getting the emails right now to buy your tickets. And let me tell you, tickets, they're hot on the streets in terms of it, right? How are the ticket sales going for this event so far?
Ticket sales have been absolutely incredible. We've just been so beyond thrilled. We're already above 2022's numbers. We're looking at surpassing 24 later today, and then 2023 hopefully tomorrow. So like I said, it's going to be one of the biggest taco truck throwdowns in recent memory. VIP has absolutely flown off the shelf. We're actively trying to figure out where that barrier is, where, you know, we're having the best experience possible for all of those people who are buying VIP. But if you want VIP tickets, buy them now, because we are expecting them to sell out. And above that, you know, people are just excited for the tacos, right? There's so much at this event. You've got the tacos, the salsa throwdown, the michelada throwdowns. On top of that, you've got Lucha Extreme Wrestling, so a little bit of extra entertainment, and of course the musical acts. There's really something for everyone at this event.
Now define for the people, like, what level of tickets. You got the general admission, you said you got VIP. Describe what people get at the price point they're paying for to the level of tickets they're getting at this thing.
Absolutely. So you've got your GA ticket, which is your standard get yourself in the door. Those are $49, which when you think about it, $49 to see the kind of musical acts that we're going to bring is pretty special, right? You can't find tickets to an E40 concert for $49, let alone you add all the other headliners, all the other entertainment. Totally a steal. Our next step is the Agave Club. So it's something that we're trying for the first time here at Taco Truck Throwdown. We did it this past year for Tequila Fest. It's this kind of in between VIP and GA ticket, where you get access to the Kodiak Club. There will be tastings from Tequila Patron there. We'll have food provided by Poppy's Mex Grill there as well, and then access to that VIP area. It doesn't come with all of the extra perks as well, but it's still that nice area. If you're looking for air conditioning during the event, or, you know, just a place to sit, you will have access to those Kodiak Club seats as well. So kind of a cool new ticket addition for Taco Truck Throwdown. And then, of course, the aforementioned VIP tickets, which are your admission, 10 taco vouchers, 5 drink vouchers, commemorative lanyard, access to an area in front of the stage, which includes private restrooms, private bars, like truly the taco aficionado pack. Yeah. That's currently selling for $139 right now. Like I said, you got to get them because those will sell out.
Now, question. Let's say I'm a person who bought a general admission ticket, and now I'm hearing all the perks of VIP, and I'm like, well, I already bought my ticket. How do I get, can I upgrade? Can I do that? Is there a way people can do that with you guys?
Absolutely. Go ahead and give us a call or shoot us a text, 559-320-4487. That's 559-320-4487. We'll get you all taken care of, all upgraded. Kind of the same thing, though. Do that now because yeah. There's no guarantee that there will be space to upgrade to. We are looking at a couple other options for upgrades as well on the day of the event, right? Because we know that people get there with their GA tickets and start asking, wait, how do I get up in front of the stage for when E40 goes on? So we'll make sure that there's options on the day of the event as well. But what I got to say, do it now if you can, because those tickets are absolutely flying.
Now, talk about the importance of celebrating the taco truck here in Fresno, right? Because that's the whole thing, the taco truck throwdown and just the culture around. Yeah, people driving around everywhere. You could go everywhere. You still stone's throw from a taco truck anywhere on the corner somewhere here in this town. Why is it so important to celebrate, you know, what Fresno has in terms of the taco truck culture?
Yeah, very much. You know, Taco Truck Throwdown at its core has always been and will always be about the taco, right? And we are so proud that the Central Valley is the birthplace of the taco truck going back to the 1940s and World War II. You know, Fresno and the Central Valley really does hold that claim to being the birthplace of the taco truck. So for us to have the ability to, you know, really tell that story and also, you know, help support all these hardworking small business owners, you know, the men and women who put their truly their heart and soul into the trucks and all the vendors that we get to have out at Taco Truck Throwdown, to be able to give them a venue where the community will come out and get to see all of these amazing vendors, right? You're talking 11,000 people probably coming through the doors at Chickchansey Park on Saturday. You have a chance to try some of your favorite taco trucks or even maybe discover one that you've never heard of before that might end up becoming your brand new favorite.
Certainly. Johnny, what's your go-to taco build? What is the go-to Johnny taco order for you?
Yep, huge fan of quesabirria. You know, like that's truly like top tier. That's what I'm going for. Also, just a big fan of just a typical asada taco. I think one of the coolest things about Taco Truck Throwdown is you have such an incredible chance to try so many different kinds of tacos and you know, discover some new kinds. I'd never had a true shrimp taco up until a couple years ago, and I mean was blown away, and that's one of the fun things about Taco Truck Throwdown.
I know you can't hear Jorge, but I want to go to Jorge real quick and ask Jorge what his go-to taco truck order is when you're driving around. Jorge, what is your go-to taco truck order? Oh, you don't got your gotta get your mic on again.
My bad.
There you go.
So I gotta get four
of them,
right? Two are asada.
Two asada, okay.
One al pastor.
Al pastor, yeah.
One lengua.
One lengua.
Very nice.
So that's good. Four there. I'm an al pastor guy.
Okay.
I've been told you have to do the different salsas with the different kind of meats, mm-hmm. too. Like, I've been told green goes more with the asada. You know, the red goes more with the chicken. And
I think that's more like it depends on your type.
Depends on your preference.
Your preference.
Right?
Yeah. The salsas are more your preference. If you want them hot, mild.
I like a hot sauce, though. I like a one that burned me a little bit in terms of that. You mentioned salsa throwdown. What's the range of salsa we're getting here?
It's pretty intense, man. Like, the people who are the judges for that need to have a high tolerance for sure. Obviously, there's a wide variety, right? Yeah. But to be able to bring that and the Michelada throwdown back again this year, you know, really expand the radius of what we're covering. It's all about the tacos, but we've got so many other incredible competitions as well. So really looking forward to people throwing down again this year.
What do you got, Jorge? You're staring at me. Sorry. I thought you were trying to say something. All right, my bad. Okay. E40, also part of it. I know exactly what I'm wearing on Saturday. When
Very
I'm,
nice.
I'm decked out in Warriors. That's what
absolutely,
I'm,
you got
to
be.
For the guys. So yep. How pumped is he? I'm sure he's pumped to come here to the Central Valley and continue. John, you're on a hot streak of getting some of these guests coming to all these events. Are you patting yourself back just a little bit?
No, you know, we've got a really incredible team, right? Yeah. We're extremely, extremely lucky to, you know, have a group that's passionate about bringing the best in entertainment to the Central Valley and to be able to bring E40, you know, Bay Area legend over here. And then Baby Bash, who's a Central Valley guy, coming up to Fresno
My
to
brother's
perform.
My brother's stoked about that.
Oh, it's huge, right? And then, you know, you round out the lineup with SOS Band and Connie, where we're really, really proud of the headliners we've been able to put together this year, on top of a couple of other local acts as well, right? Mia May, who's from South Valley. She's a phenomenal up-and-coming artist. She's absolutely incredible. Great performer if you haven't seen her. And then a couple of other amazing local DJs as well. Dorian Castro of Some Slight, and then KG559, who we just announced today. We had a contest online or on social media to nominate a local DJ for the chance to spin at Taco Truck Throwdown. He was by far the winner, you know, so we're really excited to have him on stage as well.
That's awesome. Well, we can't wait, Johnny. You got about a minute. One more time, tell where people can buy the tickets, where they can go, and what time the doors open on Saturday as well.
Absolutely. TacoTruckThrowdown.com is going to be your one-stop shop. You've got tickets there. You've got info about the event, all of that good stuff. Doors open at 5 p.m. on Saturday. GA tickets are currently $49. You know, whether you've been to all 13 going on 14 Taco Truck Throwdowns or this is your first one, come on out to Chickchansey Park. Experience what is truly a Central Valley tradition at this point. We can't wait to see everyone out there.
You got to find the people who've been to the 14 in a row.
I'm sure there are, though. I'm sure those people are there,
those
man. All the way back
people.
To the baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to find the ride or dies in terms of that. That should be a lot of fun. Well, Johnny, I can't wait. I will see you there. You'll
Absolutely.
Definitely see me
Good.
There on Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. I'm going to come hungry.
Oh, yeah, as you should.
So can't wait for that. Johnny Bravo, thanks again for stopping in studio. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Phil.
We'll see you there. By the way, you can win Taco Truck Throwdowns tonight at Major Wager. Just a heads up as well. Almost forgot to plug that.
Very
there
nice.
You go. Come to Major Wager tonight. Me and Ed's Victory Grill over by Middlemark to enter to win on the Monday Night Football. All right, Johnny, quickly. Cardinals or Cowboys tonight? Who you got?
Oh, got to be Cardinals.
Cardinals? All right. I'm riding Cowboys. I need some fantasy. You need some fantasy help tonight.
I desperately need fantasy help.
All right. Johnny, appreciate it as always. We'll see you later. Jorge, good show by you. Monday Night Football coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll see you then. Behind the Bench returns tomorrow at 3 o'clock.